This is CliffCentral.com.
I see a message here from Kaylin. This is a horrible, terrible song. Please stop it. Kaylin. That is Van Halen, which rhymes with your name. Might even be the reason your parents called you that. You don't know. Because it's a stupid name, Kaylin. And I'll tell you... Wait, Ben, I'm just having a tirade. Just let me have my tirade. And Kaylin, I will not apologize for Van Halen. I love 80s rock, and I think it's awesome. And if you don't, Kaylin, you have a phone, and you can go to iTunes. Oh, iTunes doesn't exist. Do you know they canned iTunes?
Really?
Yeah, it's Apple Music now only.
Oh, good.
You go to Apple Music, like I was saying. I don't make mistakes. And you can find any song you want and listen to that while we're playing a song, because you can always come back after the song. Do you know why we play them, Kaylin? Just so that you can have the podcast ready. We need to separate the podcasts with a song. That's the only reason I play them. I don't play them because I want to. I would talk solidly for 2 hours. Ben's seen me do it.
But it's also kind of awkward that Kaylin's parents stooped to that song.
They probably did. And Kaylin says, song. I would prefer listening to Ben over that song. So she's not only, I think it's a she. I mean, if that's a guy's name, your parents really were hippies and they were stoned all the time. But Kaylin, Ben, you also got a dig there. So it's you and Van Halen that Kaylin hates.
Or she just likes my voice.
Maybe she likes your voice.
Yeah.
CliffCentral.com. It's just after 7 o'clock on a Friday morning. Yes. Yes, Friday. The day you wait for. The day you get excited because you get to do what you want. See the people you want to see. Go to the places you want to go. Eat the food you want to eat. Drink the drinks you want to drink. Have some fun. Make your life exciting. Not like a Monday. Monday is like what you have to do, not what you want to do. All right. We've got this very bizarre WhatsApp. And this comes from O'Neill, who you know used to do a show here.
On Fridays, yeah.
Yes.
Live music.
Very, very popular show.
Yeah, good guy.
O'Neill sent me an invitation. Here it is, Ben. Have a look.
There's a lot of yellow. Oh, sorry. You're invited to celebrate my... And it's got erectile dysfunction being crossed out. And it says birthday brunch.
Mm-hmm. Huh. He's having some
big... Oh, hey, Gareth. Hot a beer sport.
Hot a beer sport, damn. But he's on the line. Hey, O'Neill. How are you, Oneasy?
What's wrong?
I saw your invitation. I immediately thought, oh, God, no. Shame he's got serious erectile dysfunction. What's going on?
No, it was just a tongue-in-cheek idea that I had, and I was like,
I love it.
Why not? Why take it so
serious? What an awesome idea for an invitation, because people expect an invite to be, come and celebrate with me, but that's boring. This is so much more, like, I would love to be celebrating your erectile dysfunction with you. I think that's a very cool, so I mean, like, be proud, right?
Look, it's something that... I suppose people don't speak about it much, but you get to an age where you start to just like think about it secretly. You're like,
yeah.
Is it an actual thing?
Have you ever had problems? Have you ever had erectile dysfunction?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Are you sure about that?
But I'm ready for it. I'm prepared for it.
Do you know who's an ambassador? Ben reminded me. Do you know who's an ambassador for erectile dysfunction?
Who is this?
Your biggest competition, Pele. So are you, the rumor is that you're having this this birthday party of yours at Hartbeespoort Dam because it's halfway to Botswana. Is that right?
Not necessarily. I've got a friend who's got a very nice place that side. So I figured,
All right.
Why the hell not take it out of this pretentious place called Joburg? So
sure, very good.
I decided to just take it outside so that, you know, it's, I think it's always nice when, you know, you sort of like remove people from their comfort zone.
Right.
It's almost like they get out of their way to just go and spend time, because whenever you do things closest to where you stay, it's easy for people to sneak out.
Yeah.
People like see ya.
Yeah.
They sneak out. He sees a desert. Another party.
That's right. They come to you with bad intentions and then they leave as soon as. Yeah.
So you hold them hostage.
Yeah.
So you want to hold them hostage. They must enjoy your party.
Oh, please, Mr. O'Neill. Whatever.
Sia, you've snuck out of parties, Sia. Don't pretend.
I don't sneak out. I just happen to.
You
slide
always
into the shadows.
No, you
the next
always
one.
Have. You're one of those people who always has something better to do. So you'll come to someone's birthday, yes. But then you've also got to go to someone else's birthday. Am I right, O'Neill?
Yes, that's Yes, exactly. That's him. That's Sia.
Right.
You know, first it was being called sexist by Ben earlier. Now I'm being called sneaky by you two. What's happening this morning?
This is called the chickens coming home to roost, Sia. That's what
I don't
this
like
is.
This.
All right, so O'Neill, what's happening with you though? Are you good? Everything going well? Are you busy?
Yeah, no. Look, I'm busy. I'm doing a lot of gigs, which is something that I stopped enjoying at some point. But now I'm really enjoying it. I think it's because when you start taking control of what you do, it feels a lot more. It feels a lot less like a job.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing a lot of like nice little pubs, like lounges. So, like maximum 100 people. So I like those. I'm doing a lot of those. Like on a weekly basis, I do about 4.
Wow. Okay, that's very good.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that. Yeah. No, I'm enjoying
well,
that.
Well,
we'd
like you to pop around sometime and catch up properly, but happy birthday for the weekend and enjoy yourself.
Thank you, guys. I miss you guys.
Yeah,
no, I'll stop by
too.
Very soon. Thank you very much.
All right,
for
bro.
Your
cool, man. Keep well. There he is. O'Neill. O'Neezy. You can catch him on various social media. O'Neill is terrific. He is a huge star in the music world, and he knows everybody. He really does. He brought in Rebecca Malope. He brought in AKA Casper Nyovest. He knows all these people. He's connected to all of them. So he's worth paying attention to. And he himself is quite something when he's on the decks. So there we go, O'Neill. All right, some stories in the news. Let's get the only little bit of politics that we need to get out of the way today out of the way because it's something that's been annoying me slightly.
What's that, Gareth?
I saw a story last night about, well, the headline of the story, it's a picture of the D-Day celebrations, which I've got to say were beautiful. I saw a little bit of it. I didn't see a lot. I would have watched more if I'd had more time, but the last 2 days have been pretty crazy. So I celebrated the 75th anniversary of D-Day, which, as you know, was the day that the British and American and Canadian and South African troops landed on the beaches in Normandy and began to push back against the Third Reich and free Europe from the Nazi threat. And of course, not just Europe, but the rest of the free civilized world. It was a moment of incredible... What is the word I'm looking for here? It was the most poignant moment because if it had gone wrong and if they hadn't been able to secure a purchase on the coast of the French... Norman Sea, the coasts of Normandy, there would have been major problems for the war effort. They wouldn't have been able to get into Europe any other way, and they wouldn't have been able to push back against Hitler. And then Hitler would no doubt have come back with more force. And even though he was recoiling from an increasingly bad situation in the East, from his point of view, he would have dedicated himself to fighting on the West then, and we may have had a very different world, a world where many of us wouldn't be here because he would have wiped us out because he didn't like blacks or Jews or any of those things, but another world where we would all speak German and much of Western civilization would be absorbed into this weird, cultish, gross, and pretty revolting German Nazi ideology. So it was a big day. It was a very, very big day. And there were some veterans who survived that day who were actually at the ceremonies in France, in Aromanche and in Portsmouth. I saw the Queen was there and Donald Trump was there. And, you know, Macron from France and the Belgians and the Dutch and all of those people were there. But Donald Trump attracts all the attention because there are people in the world who are... You know, they complain that Donald's an egomaniac. And he is. and they complain that Donald Trump is a narcissist, and he is. But here's the deal. They are obsessed with him.
More so. Yeah.
So, if you're obsessed with a narcissist, doesn't that mean you're fueling his fire?
Completely.
So, the liberal press, particularly in Britain, I mean, there was a protest in Westminster against him and all kind of, like, who would take the time out of their day to protest him? Him. A soft target like him. These are not the kind of people who will protest the Ayatollah in Iran or Kim Jong-un or really dangerous people who've been shown to be bloody-handed for the murder of many. They don't do that. These people protest soft shit like Donald Trump. And here's what bothers me. The headline of this story. You've got this tremendous commemoration of a great event that 75 years ago changed the world for the better. And you've got all of these people all over the world who've gathered there to commemorate this, to pay homage to these amazing men who fought on those beaches. And the headline of the story is, Donald Trump thinks D-Day is about him. And I thought to myself, wow. You have to be a pretty sick individual, because as much as you accuse him of narcissism, for you to make it all about him in a story where you think that he thinks, just for a moment, see how ludicrous this is. The person who wrote that article thinks that Donald Trump thinks that it's all about him. This is not a story. This is called psychopathy. This is you being so much in someone's head and making your life and your existence so much about someone that your opinion piece or your article or whatever it is about what you think that person thinks, which, by the way, is impossible. I can't tell you right now what Sia's thinking. I can't tell you what Ben's thinking, and I've worked with them for how long. This journalist's probably never met Trump, but they're going to tell you what Trump's thinking. What an insane article. What a stupid thing to write. Good God. I mean, how embarrassing. Whoever that... I didn't even see who wrote it or what publication it was written for. But whoever did that, you should be so embarrassed. You should kill yourself, actually.
Ooh.
You should go and kill yourself because you really are just human detritus. On a day like D-Day commemoration, where something important's going on, you're writing this? Please. This is the end of the road is coming for these journalists who write this nonsense. And it's not going to be pretty. Anyway, Kaylin's come back and said, you're welcome to choose any song from here. Isn't that nice of Kaylin? Well, thank you, Kaylin.
Well, I've always liked Kaylin.
That's nice. So we're back on good terms with Kaylin. Okay. So what do you want to talk about this morning? We've got Kyle. Oh, this is good. Kyle Deutsch is coming in to talk to us just now. You remember he popped in a while ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We talked to him about music, and we talked to him about his collaborations, and we talked to him about weed and all this stuff. So we're going to talk to him today again. Find out about Bring Back the Love. The music video is out, and we'll find out all about that. So what's in your mind, Ben? You have a lot on the agenda.
Gareth. So Alabama.
Alabama.
Now, you wouldn't think Alabama is a progressive place in America, right?
No.
Well, they want to chemically castrate convicted sex offenders.
What do you think of that?
So if you're a pedo and you go into prison, okay, you don't get life sentences. You're going to get released, okay?
Yeah.
So now they're literally about to pass a bill that in order for them to be released, they have to be chemically castrated beforehand. That's cool. Wow. I think that's smart. Okay. It's about the whole thing about the time doing the crime, fitting the crime.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So you're in favor of this?
Sure, I'll vote on that.
See, so I already know what some people's argument will be. They'll start saying, well, pedophilia might be an illness. Would you make an alcoholic suffer this way? Would you make someone with cancer suffer this way as opposed to rehabilitating them? Okay, cool.
I'm interested in what chemical castration is and how it works. So do you want to know? I'm no expert, but this is a good start. We can always get that doctor, our friend the doctor. What's her name?
Dr. Elna?
Dr. Robin.
Oh, well, she's a vagina expert.
But she could also do penises and balls.
See, Sia's always going to say something derogatory about women.
She's just a vagina
by the way, it's a gynecologist and obstetrician. You don't say vagina doctor. How disrespectful.
Gosh, that's like all she cares about.
She called herself a vagina expert.
She slaves. She gets a degree after how many years? It takes you 500 years to be a doctor.
Sure. The hours, the sacrifice, Gareth.
Least you could say is gynecologist and obstetrician, not you. Vagina doctor.
I'm damned if I do. I'm damned if I don't today.
Here he is. Google has just joined the team. Have you ever heard anyone be so disrespectful
towards vaginas?
Yeah.
No.
Women who become doctors. Call her that, a vagina doctor. Really?
And I mean, she studied so many years.
Yes,
to get
correct.
To be called a vagina doctor.
Right. How rude. Thank you.
Always a locker room with Sia, isn't it?
Always.
I'll be in the corner further digging myself into
the stitch.
Glad you
didn't say pussy
today.
Doctor, because then we would really have had a problem.
Well, he wanted to.
I know you did.
It's a kichi kichi yaya doctor.
Yeah, but okay, cool. So, excuse me?
Carry on.
And this is him not on booze.
Alabama.
Yeah, but like, it's just, this kind of stuff makes sense to me because we spoke about the Bible earlier, about evolving and sticking with the times. This kind of stuff is a good deterrent. It's like, we take this seriously.
All right.
Don't mess with kids.
So chemical castration is where they inject you with something called an anaphrodisiac, which reduces libido and sexual activity. It's not like surgical castration where they actually remove your balls.
Yes, that's a very literal thing.
Now, chemical castration does not remove organs and it does not sterilize you. It is generally considered reversible when treatment is discontinued, although permanent effects in body chemistry can sometimes be seen.
So, see, to your point, but he's got an illness. I know where you're going with that. It's like, okay, well, let's take away something that doesn't help the illness, is libido.
Right. So it reduces your sex drive, compulsive sexual fantasies, and the capacity for sexual arousal. So you can't get excited.
Mm-hmm. In a pedophile, that leads to crime, okay?
Yeah.
So how about we just take that away?
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the guy a favor.
Save them from themselves. Life-threatening side effects are rare, but some users show increases in body fat and reduced bone density, so they'll also become fat and unattractive.
Also fine.
It's also fine, right?
Yeah. Mm.
So the first use of chemical castration occurred in 1944, when diethyl stilbestrol was used with the purpose of lowering men's testosterone.
Was that a woman's name or a chemical?
She was actually the first victim, diethyl stilbestrol.
I wonder what it's like to...
Here's a good drug, benperidol.
Oh, Ben.
Oh, that's the one
that... Benperidol, yeah, I played my rugby team in high school.
That's used to treat and diminish sexual urges in people who display inappropriate sexual behavior.
I think that's fine. I really do.
It's okay, right?
I think it's so fine that we could do this to people.
Like to live with tons of testosterone and a huge or high sex drive. I wonder what you...
Well, here's the thing. Oh. They say that chemical castration is often seen as an easier alternative to life imprisonment or the death penalty because it allows the release of sex offenders while reducing or eliminating the chance that they reoffend. Isn't that interesting?
And not to put words into their mouths, but I would assume one would opt for this as opposed to a life in prison or the death penalty.
If I were a pedophile and I couldn't control myself, I'd prefer the chemical castration. You keep out of trouble.
That's a very good point. Again, like, why are we so precious about this? It's a weapon like any other thing.
I know some people who are not pedophiles who should be on these things.
I'd love to sometimes because, you know, your body
makes you stupid things. But Gareth, in the first hour, we spoke about how sexual crime is on the up and up and everywhere. Disarm them.
Inject their balls with this stuff and let's be done with it.
Exactly.
Okay, good for Alabama. It's the first time they've ever done anything progressive.
Alabama.
That's
Alabama, goddamn.
Well, Gareth, a little to your point earlier about virtue signaling, what do you think about this? There is a circus in Germany that was founded back in 1976. It was the first circus in the world to, you know, like use these major shows and productions. And they are known for having animals in their circus show.
Yeah.
Well, now they want to be known as the first circus in the world to not use animals and instead use holograms.
Of course I'm in favor of this. Not even a question. What did you think I was going to say?
I was waiting for that.
I don't want animals being put in. Have you seen how horrible it is for these animals? They make a tiger jump through a hoop with fire.
It's so bad.
It's horrible. And you see this tiger. I mean, there was this... I can't even watch these clips because they make me so upset. I show this tiger jumping through this thing like 3 or 4 times. Eventually, it's so exhausted and it's just... It's so hopeless. And you can see the thing is just broken. And it just collapses. It passes out. And then the guy starts beating it with the whip. And oh my God, it makes me cry. I don't want to talk about it. It makes me so... Let's just leave it. These circuses are monsters. They should all be locked up. These people should be put in chains and made to jump through fire hoops.
So they're called...
Circus. The ringmaster. I'd like to... Get in the ring, ringmaster. Jump through that goddamn ring. Treat animals like that.
They're called Circus Roncalli. And they say most of the numbers in the show would already be done by the artists and clowns today anyway. So the focus of the Circus Roncalli is on poetic and acrobatic numbers. And so now they're just enhancing it by using holograms of animals. Would you buy a ticket? Would you go and watch a hologram of an...
I don't go to circuses. I think circuses are for stupid people. Really, it's... The reason that circuses existed is because we didn't have Netflix.
Yeah, we didn't have TV. In the old
days, you'd live in some horrible village where you'd be eating a handful of mud and you'd live in some house that stank because people just shat wherever they were. And like everyone on earth lived in these horrible conditions and then the circus would come to town. And you'd put on whatever rags you had, the cleanest rags, and you'd walk outside into the mud outside your house, and you'd traipse down to the field, and someone put up a colorful tent, and they had these people who could do trapeze and animals jumping through hoops and all this, and you'd go, oh, this is great, because you were an idiot. You were like primitive man. Circus. The circus come to town, and they'd have freak shows. All the people whose mothers had drunk everything during the time they were pregnant, they've got 3 heads popping out of their
women
shoulders.
Women with beards.
Yeah,
I'm not being sexist, Ben. I'm just pointing what
now,
has been used.
Yeah,
that's
can
a
get,
quick reference for you, though.
These days, you can get all of that stuff on Netflix and YouTube. You don't need the circus. Can you name a single place in the world where the circus is still the main means of entertainment?
Russia, obviously.
But they're all drunk all the time.
Exactly. Just to prove your point.
I've never even been to the circus.
Average life expectancy in Russia is like 40 years max. People end up with axes in their heads and they get nuclear radiation through their whole body from drinking from some lake. And Russia is a terrible example of where human beings could go. Terrible example. And circuses, we don't need them. Ben, tell me I'm wrong.
No, we don't need them. You're right.
Sia, do you like circuses?
No.
They could hologram the hell out of a circus. I won't come. They could give me virtual reality with every great movie star in the history of humanity, and I wouldn't go to a circus. It's a stupid thing, and if you go to circuses, you should be embarrassed, and nobody... Nobody with their right mind should end up in a circus for entertainment when you've got all these exciting things on the internet and on these subscription services. And you can go these days. I went to see a live show last night.
Mm-hmm.
Never do that, but you could do that if you wanted to. Why the circus? What are you, 5? Come on. And these poor animals. I get so upset. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got to take a big
take
deep
a
breath.
Deep, yeah,
oh
deep
my
breath.
God.
That's it. We'll breathe.
You got me all riled
fine.
Up.
Fine.
Bring Kyle Deutsch in here. I want to talk to this dude. I haven't seen him in a while. Get him in here. He's sitting outside there looking like a rock star. What have you done? Colored your hair or something? He's wearing sunglasses in the morning. Indoors. Totally unnecessary. Got like a fur collar on this jacket, but he does look like a rock star. He looks like a mix of Rob Thomas and Jared Leto.
That's quite a combo.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. Tell me I'm wrong. Watch, when he comes in, you tell me. So we always love celebrating very talented people. Kyle Deutsch is one of them. He has a new single, which is called Bring Back the Love. While he's in the city, he's popping in to tell us something about that. It is the follow-up to his previous chart-topping single, Summer Love. He's teamed up with Durban-based teenage prodigy and production genius. What's this fucker's name?
Scudder is dead.
Scudder is dead.
Scudder is dead.
That's sit definitely. Down. How are you, dude?
Good.
You do look like a rock star today.
Thank you.
How do you get your hair to poof up that much?
This is straight out of bed, boss.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe 15.
Why are you scratching your head? You got
again.
Lice? Do you want to sort that out before you come in here?
Yeah, do you have something for me?
So tell me, bring back the love. So the Scudder is dead.
Yeah.
Okay. He's how old?
He's 19.
Wow. Yeah. How did you find him? How did you guys find each other?
So we work in studio in Durban a lot, and mainly with Sketchy and
a bunch
of the
Bunga,
guys.
You've done some good work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a bunch of the guys we work closely with, and I think just because of our position in the industry, people come to us and they want to showcase their things to us. So Scudder came through, and one day we were just blown away by his production skills. And so yeah, we made this track in his garage.
You know what I'm amazed with you, and there are a couple of other people who are very talented who decided to stay in Durban. And Durban is not like Joburg. You've got musicians crawling out of every rock, right? In Durban, you know everybody, and everybody knows you. It's a small community.
Yeah.
But you've chosen to work there, and you've worked with some really good people, and your output is like probably higher than some of the guys in Joburg.
Yeah.
What do you think it is? Do you love it there? And
I think Durban has a relaxed culture. There's not something to be doing every single day, so it allows you, it frees up your space in terms of creativity, and there's less appearances, less it places to be and go and be seen, and if you're not seen there, then where are you?
So it's not as pretentious.
There's no pressure to be seen around, and in Durban they don't really care about celebrity and fame and that sort of stuff.
That's
and
really why
it's a little bit.
That's why Sia left. He likes the pretentious.
You're chasing that down, boss.
Yeah. All of that. Yeah. I need the fakeness, the air kisses, the backstabbing.
So you're good. I mean, you seem like things are going really well, and you seem very happy, and you've got a lot going on in your professional life. Are you happy?
Yeah, 100%. 100% enjoying the journey, yeah.
And this music video, how long did it take you to do that, and where did you do it?
We shot it over a day, and we shot Chad in that old house. It's one of the first houses in Johannesburg. It's now a museum.
Yeah.
So it's old colonial house near town. And then we moved across to a big warehouse in Pretoria.
Wow. So is it very moody? I hear you've got a ballet dancer in there.
Yeah, super moody. It's a single lead male ballet dancer who's probably one of the best in the world.
What's the guy's name? Ruan Galdino.
Yeah. Yeah, so Ruan Galdino's a Brazilian guy, and he's moved over here. He's dancing with the Royal Joburg Ballet.
Hmm.
He's doing that Nutcracker suite and
that's amazing.
Whatever he's involved at the moment.
Have you seen how screwed up their feet are?
Ish.
Ben, have you ever seen a ballet dancer's feet?
Horrendous.
They look
hammer toe.
Bunion central.
Oh. Yeah, they look like they've been smashing their feet with hammers.
Can't
all
go to the beach.
Day.
It's a real deal breaker.
Yeah. Did he take off his shoes? They never take off their shoes in front of you.
He wasn't so bad. He wasn't too bad. He's I enjoyed Ron. He's very professional.
You're being nice, but I mean, at the same time, this guy's talented. You hired him to do your music videos.
Yeah.
Did you guys talk? Did you spend any time interacting?
Yeah, 100%. 100% cool guy. We still hang out and.
All right. And why did you decide to put a ballet dancer in there? Was it your idea?
Well, I worked with this. Her name is Elsa Bleder. She's the director of the video, and she's done the Can't Get Enough videos with us as well. And just because of the sound of the song, we decided that something different and unique would be more suited. The video is super moody, and it is mainly performance focused on Ruan, and it's just about the light and the motion graphics.
Very, very good. These collaborations that you do you have to share the money with everybody?
You always share the money with everybody.
Doesn't that break your backside? Because you often are the one who writes the songs.
Yeah.
And then you have to share this money.
Yeah, you got to share the money. You got to share the money. Because
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't. Why,
I'm not talented enough to write a song. So.
Yeah, but you're the one who's getting the money to run the station. It's like not paying your compiler or not paying your social media person or not paying your website.
I haven't paid Sia and Ben in months. Look at them. Don't you see how hungry they are? Yeah.
What? You got food?
I'm not naturally skinny. I'm suffering. That's
Ben, what have you got in the coat?
Did you see that cardboard box when you drove in? That's where Ben, that's where Ben lives.
You got
when
one?
People come in, he goes, you've got some drugs for me. He's got a serious problem. So hang on. How much do you have to share with them?
If in production terms, I would, well, when I team up with someone and do a song, I always share the music 50-50.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't have to. You could give them 20.
Yeah. But it all depends. It depends if you're going to be paying them up front for production or if you're going to share on royalty splits on the song.
Or just be like David Guetta and just take other people's music.
Yeah, he just steals other people's music.
Yeah, he's just getting...
Whose music did he steal?
Your friend.
Daniel Barron.
Yes, Daniel stole that guy's song.
Really?
Yeah. You must listen to the two. When you play them back to back, you can hear it. It's obvious.
I must check it out.
How's that, huh?
Daniel's taking David to court.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. How's that? Taking on David Guetta. I like that. That's ballsy.
Yeah,
that's
brave.
A big move.
That's brave. When he delays it four visits.
How often do you still see your friend Chicana? Because you guys had that amazing song, which, I mean, it's still being played all over the place.
Yeah, 100%. I see her quite often when I'm up in Jersey and she's down in Durban. We try and link up. She's got a cool show, which I'm going to be performing on soon, called Rose Fest, which is coming to Joburg and Durban.
Yeah.
So look out for that.
Rose Fest.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. After album Rose Gold. So okay. Now she's got a Rose Fest, which is an event that they're putting on.
Are you doing a lot of live gigs?
Yeah.
Where do you mostly do these? Are you at festivals and things? I mean, where do people come to see you?
We just did Splashy Fen. We did the Royal Show.
Okay. Tell me about Splashy Fen before we get to the Royal. The Royal Show is in Maritzburg, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Splashy Fen, I need to hear about.
Ooh,
yeah. Mud.
Yeah.
Was it rainy?
It has to rain at Splashy. Oh, otherwise, okay. It wouldn't be called Splashy.
This is hell.
And if it doesn't rain, then you haven't had the full experience. So you must hope for some rain.
Before you were a famous singer and you were performing at these things, did you ever go to this as just an ordinary member of the public?
Yeah, I did once.
You did?
I did once.
How do you make it through such an uncomfortable shit experience? Because don't tell me it's fun. You're covered in mud. Everybody stinks.
No, the showers.
It's disgusting.
Didn't you get
sick?
Nah, bro.
No.
Mm-mm.
All right, so tell me how it goes, because I've never been.
Okay, so you drive inside.
You arrive.
Tents all set up. It's like a farm set up.
Like a concentration camp.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's an escalation.
It's pretty much like a concentration camp with entertainment.
Just a disorganized concentration camp. All right, is there drugs? Now, what would you take? Now, we're talking as adults. No one's going to report you to the police. I mean, what would you take at a festival? MD?
No, for me personally, I smoke...
Just
and
weed.
Then, yeah.
Okay. So because we spoke about weed last time.
And
we
drink
remember?
Some alcohol, yeah.
Okay, what are you drinking?
Jameson.
Oh. That's quite civilized.
Jameson.
You're better than me. I would be hitting
Jameson
tequila.
And tequila, yeah. You mix them. Well, I don't mix them in the cup, but there's shots going on.
Okay, all right. And you go with cool people? Who are your posse?
Yeah,
who do you go with? Are these friends you've had for years, or are they... other celebrities?
Yeah, but not other celebrities, always friends I've had for years, but these days traveling with the band and with the people is normally the traveling with the squad.
Your band are fun people?
Yeah.
They're not boring, go to bed at 9 o'clock at night.
There's none of that, and our side always laughs 100% of the time.
We're
clowns.
Yeah, but this is good. I'm glad you're acknowledging this, because you get musicians, and I'm sure you've spoken to some of them, and they pretend to be so serious, and they've got, we've got so many gigs, we don't have time to have fun.
Yeah.
And they're always on the road, and they say they're working the whole time. And I think to myself, that can't be right, because half the reason you get into music...
is because you like the industry, yeah.
Yeah, you want to have the fun.
Yeah.
You want to be in... there's an energy to that. When you're on stage, you can't go straight off of stage and go to sleep.
No.
If you did, you probably did a boring set.
You probably did a cock job.
Right. Yeah. So you get off stage, and you want to go and party a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, so... We go to Splashy Finn. Now, we've got some weed. We've got some Jameson, maybe a bit of tequila. And where do we sleep in this place?
We tent it up.
Oh, Jesus. Mm.
Tent it up, however that is for you. Some guys have trailers.
Do you take your own
some
stuff?
Some things. So now for this last performance.
They put you up because they need, you know.
So
they
we're glamping. We were glamping.
Ah.
So it's like a glamping section, which looks even more like concentration camps because now the tents are standardized.
But they've got running water.
And they have running water and showers.
Oh.
And that's your own portable loo section and a breakfast section. And
okay. Yeah. Do you have to be close to your fans at these things, or can you get away from them? That would be my first concern.
You don't. Glamping is away, so it's like there's the glampers, and then there's all like
they're separate.
People will be, yeah,
they
a little
keep
bit
the
separate.
Peasants in the poor area,
and then the other guys are all outside. But I mean, I don't think that's not really the
it's
nature
like Downton
of the
Abbey,
festival.
Ben, it's the you have the servants downstairs and the lords and ladies.
Yeah, like
upstairs.
It should be.
Yeah, like it should
like
be.
It should
all right, so have you ever had anyone like burst into your tent and try to have sex with you?
No.
No.
My tent got, someone got stolen at my tent the first time I went there.
What did they steal?
The bag with the wallet.
Oh, you're kidding me.
They just cut a hole in the back of the tent.
What disgusting people.
Yeah,
and these
people.
Are other fellow attendees of what is meant to be a fun festival.
Probably.
Oh. They get a lot of money, or did you have not much in your wallet?
No, I don't carry the cash around. That's not wise.
Oh, I heard you one of those musicians who carries a bag of cash.
No.
No?
No.
Okay. All right. So you're in the glamping. You go up on stage. You do your thing. Are the other people at this festival, are they nice people? I mean, I've never been to Splashy Finn. What's the vibe?
The crowd is quite mixed, actually. A lot of, obviously, a lot of Durban people, but because it's like an hour and a half, 2 hours out of Durban, you get a lot of people coming from Jozi and that. And I think it's a great mix of people.
Where exactly is it?
There's a farm. It's called, I think the farm is actually called Splashy Fair itself as well.
Okay.
It's in the Midlands. It's like Underberg sort of area.
And the mud, I need to know about how deep is the mud? How bad
how
does it get?
How
deep
mud?
Is your mud? Is your mud? How deep is your mud? I really
he changed
need
songs, two different songs. Sue David Guetta.
Yes, yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm going with the Bee Gees. They're way better.
We're like
and
in
David,
the 2000s.
We know with David Guetta, he's probably stolen it from someone anyway. All right, carry on. So where are we?
So we're in the mud. We're in the mud. But if you're lucky, normally the first couple of days are
you knee deep?
Non-muddy.
Is it ankle deep?
It's not even ankle deep. It's underneath the shoe.
Okay, so you wear boots.
Yeah,
you're fine.
Wear some boots.
Yeah.
But you just come to accept that everything will be muddy and dirty.
Yeah, there's going to be mud.
Have you got
there's
your own tent, or are you in the tent with the rest of the band?
We had a glamping tent, and then we had to bring tents for the rest of the band, imagine.
So you put the...
They even caused division inside the camp.
Of course. So would you, because you're the lead singer, you're the front man, you're the star, you get the glamping tent.
That's how
it's not even negotiable.
Yeah.
And
especially if Bae's traveling with, then you're definitely in the glamping. I'm not the type of person who really likes to... I'd rather sleep in the car with the lads.
Who's Bae? Who are you with at the moment?
A guy named Kerry.
Kerry, how long have you guys been together?
6 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, she's been with you a while. This is amazing.
From before the things.
Yeah, before the things. Before you became famous.
Yeah.
Huh. How do you keep that together? Because she has to sometimes... She has to let you... Yeah, I mean, tell me the truth here. Because she has to let you go off to these gigs.
Yeah.
She's not with you now in Joburg, is she?
Yeah, she's not at the moment, but she's flying in later. She's flying in later. So it's a trust thing. She understands that the space that she gives me to do those things helps both of us, and it's my income, which also helps her obviously, and the more freedom she gives, the more I can express my craft. And
so she's not a needy, cloying hanger on, or I'm saying
but,
that.
But I think all girls are like that.
If she was like that, it wouldn't work.
Yeah, of course.
All right. How did you guys meet?
What was it? Sasha. which was used to be called Sasha Nightclub in Durban. It was Tokyo.
Shit, you remember? Oh,
I remember Tokyo. Yes, I do know.
It was Sasha first, I think. Then it was Tokyo, okay. And then now it's.
Did you know? You know, you were into her immediately.
Not really.
Did she?
For us, it started out like a friends with benefits kind of vibe, and then progressed from there.
Very good. She made a good investment in you because you became super famous after that.
Investment. So what
she was the enabler. Maybe she was the enabler.
Well, maybe she was a secret ingredient. Yeah. You know? Maybe that was 100%. What fired you up. Because after that, obviously, things started to go really well. And, you know, and you're producing some great stuff. How old were you when you knew you could make music?
For me, making music was never... I was never really... recording anything, so for me making music and to be able to consider making music that sounds like I would play it was always foreign to me. So I think after I went the first time I went to Idols, and then after that I met up with the guys with Sketchy and A1 Wolf, and they were like, we're making some music, come through to the studio, and I was able to record them for the first time. And then hearing your voice coming back through the speakers instead of you always giving it out was when I kind of knew, okay, cool, like we're able to get like an end product which you'd be happy with listening to at the end of the day. So I think that was then about 2014, 2015, where we started recording our first like recording music.
It's the best talent to have, man, to be able to write a song. God, I'm jealous of that.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I wish I could do.
Okay.
I've told everybody who wants to hear it.
But you can write.
No.
So why can't you write
someone said to me the other day, and he's written some songs. He said, it's really not that hard to write a song. I think it must be very hard to come up with a good song. Because there's pressure. I mean, you're putting out the single Bring Back the Love now.
Yeah.
And you wonder, because it's your baby. You wonder, is this thing going to do well? Are people going to like it?
Yeah. I think you get to a point where you understand the sounds and you understand your sound and the songs and the whole sonic, what's going on sonically. And you get to a level where you're obviously going to write some shit songs and then you're going to write some good songs.
I don't know. You're going to write a shit song. You probably throw those away before they go to publishing.
Yeah. They just sit there.
Have you got a bucket of shit unused songs at home?
Yeah.
Not a bucket.
Swirling around.
But I'd say we've got about 40 songs.
Yeah.
And of them, you've probably seen about 5.
Wow.
See, now that's the annoying thing. I don't mean to sound morbid. That's the one some psycho person who you work with will release when you're dead. And
Sketchy, I'm really working with that guy. His name's Sketchy Bongo.
So they'll release it when you're dead. The shit songs. Watch,
yeah,
it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You just burn them.
That's fine.
You know, Prince used to go onto YouTube every night and remove his songs.
Really?
Yeah. He would send... You know how people would
there
write...
There were no nighttime viewers then.
He would report every time someone put up a Prince song on YouTube. He'd report it. He'd go on himself and do it. He was so meticulous about this stuff. And then when he died, that horrible family of his...
Mm-hmm.
They took everything they could find in his studio and they released it to, you know, and nobody really wanted it. It was horrible. It was like bits and pieces of songs. You know how you sometimes get a verse but not a chorus?
Yeah.
Sometimes you come up with just like a nice little riff or a melody.
Some good music.
Yeah, and you think, well, I'm going to just hold on to this until I've got something to do with it.
Yeah.
And this poor man, Prince, God bless you, Prince. You talented man.
Got exposed.
You had to have this rubbish. It's like a sewer pipe opening your family.
Yeah.
Let everyone hear this. Doesn't that bother you? Oh, that bothers me. As a music fan, it bothers me.
You know, because these people are talented, it's not even rubbish. But what frustrates me is, you know, when you hear these backstories.
You want to hear his sister sing?
Oh, Tyka Nelson.
Sweet.
You hear the backstory of how perfection, these people strove for perfection. And they have these things that weren't approved by them release. That's frustrating.
This Tyka Nelson, you've never heard such a horrible singer in your life.
Okay, I'll just Google her name. Walked in the studio and laid out some tracks. Engineers were in my ear, I'm mad at that. Stop, look and listen, check out your condition. If it ain't tight, position your body right.
was before autotune, eh? And yeah.
This wasn't. It was. She did this 4 years ago, three years ago.
Well, then there's no autotune.
Disgusting,
this
right?
Take this vocal and put it in, or give it to Sketchy and see what he does.
Yeah, I'm not mad.
Yeah,
there's something here.
Yeah.
Oh, God's sake!
It's why
do you have
well,
do you have people now that because they saw you on TV and they've seen you doing stuff? They come up to you and say, "Please help me get in the music business."
Probably, yeah, every day.
Everyone, huh?
Yeah,
every mom who thinks her kid's
Instagram
talented.
Instagram DMs just blowing with, "Can I send you this?"
What do you say to them? Go away.
Please send everything to studio@kyledh.com. We'll have a listen and we'll get back to you.
And what do you do? Honestly, do
we
you
have
listen
a listen.
To you do?
Yeah, and we get back to them.
What do you usually say? This is shit.
We just say no or yes or give a little bit of advice if we have time. Just say whatever, really.
I want to play your song before we finish off for today. Bring Back the Love. Tell me about this song. Where does it come from?
It comes from a garage in Umhlanga, Durban.
No, man, not like, literally.
And we started with
Jesus. Tell me about
we started
the
it with that. I'm kidding. Yeah,
you
asshole.
Son of a bitch.
Okay.
You're the worst.
So we started with the guitar.
How
so
this
I
girl
was playing,
I don't know how this girl stayed with you. She
yeah,
must be.
She's patient.
Oh, my God. She needs a medal.
And she doesn't ask me to tell too many stories because they always take long. So we started with the guitar. And then we ended up reversing the guitar, and then we're like, "Yo, this sounds pretty cool." And then we did this lead synth line on the MIDI, and the synth line has the bass inside. It's got two components within the same thing. So it's
I don't know
it's
what
carrying
you took.
the whole bass.
The last
so you're
minute,
gonna, you're gonna understand minute, now when
okay,
you hear the
last
song.
Last minute and a half was a complete waste of my life. Thank you, Kyle.
All right, pleasure. So listen to the guitar and it's reversed and then there's a bass sound that's going to be driving the whole song.
I'm going to play the song.
Play the song.
And then we'll all have a say. So Sia, get ready because we're going to need your opinion. Like
okay.
Kyle needs your opinion.
Yes. Yeah. He's my expert.
This is what he's been waiting for all his life. And Ben will give his opinion. Everybody's very excited. Mm-hmm. And then Kyle, you can have... What are you doing the rest of your day? What are you doing today?
After this, I'm thinking I'm going to go and rest a bit.
You're going to have a sleep?
Yeah.
How long is that going to go?
About an hour.
Well, that's nice.
Maybe an hour.
And then you got more press stuff and that then, you have to do around the show? I mean, around the single?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
All right, let's play this. And here it is. This is Kyle's Bring Back the Love. Take a listen to this. And then,
see, so that guitar there is reversed, if you want, that's what we're talking about.
You say reversed. You
so
actually,
you take the actual sound, so I'm playing da na 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 na, and you put it in and it goes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm. That's interesting. Young mogul. Let's listen.
Is there anything, 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 anything you wanna know?
I love this. I think this is awesome. I mean, you don't give a shit for my opinion, but there we go. I like it. I think
yeah,
it's really
you've heard
cool.
enough music to have an opinion.
I don't know, dude. Listen, I was there are a few people, honestly, out of all of those years of Idols, there are only a few people that I still remember and that I knew would turn into something. And you were already like, you were something when you walked in. That show can help you, but it can't make you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think you need the persona and you need the full package.
I mean, I was sitting with Randall one day and we were with Anele. And one of the winners of Idols came walking down the road or passing our table or whatever. And she said hello. And Randall and I both went, hi.
Oh, no.
We had no idea who it was. And then Anele had to tell us that this is a girl we had. She'd won. We didn't remember her.
How can I remember Anka?
No, it wasn't her. Although I wouldn't remember her.
Seriously, I even remember that name.
See, like there's something. You tell me whether you think this is right because the song's great. We don't. I don't. You don't want to hear their opinion in your song, do you? Who the fuck?
Kyle, I liked it. I thought it was good.
Thank you.
I thought it was brilliant.
I could listen to that.
Kyle, I thought it was great, and with my vocals on, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
We could do a collab. Yeah.
Okay, go for it. The remix packs online.
There we go. Thank you.
Did you really need to hear that from these three?
No, you really didn't.
I'm joking. All right. We love
so,
you.
As
well,
I was saying,
guys, anyway.
There is something. There's something about certain people have a little more than just being able to write a song or sing a song or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's aura.
You reckon it's an aura? Okay. Can you see that in other people when these people send you at studio@kyledh.com, they send you stuff? Can you tell?
Yeah. Well, you can. Obviously, you want to see what's behind the voice or behind the talent. Or lack of talent.
Yeah.
But it is important for the, like, visually there needs to, the music and the whole story and their look and their personality needs to all tie in together. You can't have, like, the greatest music and then your picture doesn't sell the same dream.
Well, you can get the new single. You can check out the new single. In fact, isn't the music video on YouTube already?
Ew.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Bring Back the Love.
Yeah.
You can also go and buy it, even though nobody buys music anymore. They're all pirating it and downloading it for free.
Yeah, you stream that thing. And then every time you stream it, we get $0.0001.
Enough for you to buy a shoelace.
Mm.
Yeah,
no, not even enough. It's less than cents.
It's ridiculous, right? And this is where YouTube and all of these guys have actually ruined the music business.
Yeah.
Because they get the money. All right, well, Kyle, let's not end on a depressing note. It's a great song. And thank you for joining us. George Meany's here. It's time for us to fight. You can hang. You don't have to leave in a hurry.
No, but I want to say, if you're in Joburg, come check out the launch party.
Thank you.
On Saturday. So tomorrow at Kantari Monte Casino. It's going to be going down. Come through and check that out. All if right.
Sia will be there because he goes to everything.
I was actually going to say, on. I'm around there because
keep your clothes on.
Celebrating go. World Gin Day tomorrow.
World Gin Day.
World Gin Day.
Huh. What Listen, a female thing to do. You
know, these are the things on my calendar. Okay.
So you know what? That was the harshest line in the whole show right there. Vicious.
I wake up and start drinking. These are the things that are important to me.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
World Gin Day.
George, what do you have for us this morning? What's on your agenda?
Well, everybody knows there's 95 octane and 93 octane fuel that you put in your car, right?
And what's the difference?
Well, it doesn't make too much of a difference. People think that if you put 95 octane fuel in your car,
your performance,
yeah. But octane has very little to do with performance, and has to do.
So they're ripping you off.
They're ripping you off, Exe. It has a lot to do with the knock in the engine. So you have what's called a timing knock. And the octane, if the octane is too low in the fuel, you get this timing knock.
Yeah.
And you don't really get timing knocks nowadays because cars electronically advance or retard the timing. Oh. So the car saves the knock.
So why
anyway.
Do we still have two kinds of petrol? Because of
don't.
People with old Cortinas from the 70s?
Exactly. So you don't really need to put 95 octane. The only time there's a benefit to 95 octane in regular driving is in a turbocharged car if you're driving it really, really hard.
Who is there a price difference between the two?
Yes. So So 93 unleaded is R16.48, and 95 is R16.67. Now, if you had to put in 93 versus 95, you'd save a whole R500 a year.
That's a lot, though. I'd be very pissed off if I just heard you now, like a lot of people are going to, and I'd been filling my car with 95 for the last 5 years.
Mm.
That's a lot of money.
It makes a difference.
Yeah. Exactly. It
Especially
makes a
when
difference.
They keep raising the fuel price, you know?
You know, now some manufacturers do recommend 95, but you've got to check the inside of your filler cap. And and most of the time, you're not going to find a manufacturer that's dictating which fuel to put in.
Unless you have a Cortina from the 70s.
So exactly. A Cortina or a Golf. Then what I thought we could do is we could talk about the best cars for the South African cabinet.
Ah, okay, this is going to be pretty rude. I think this is going to be rude. Okay, are you talking about our cabinet ministers?
Yes, so cars for Cyril Ramaphosa's new cabinet members.
Okay, let's go.
Given where the economy is and using a sensible budget, here's my list of cabinet member cars.
By the way, I suggested the other day, and I got shouted out by everybody, I think that the whole cabinet should Uber wherever they're going. I don't think they need cars. Most of the cars sit outside their meeting place all day.
Oh, in a world where 90% of the time your car stands still, it makes sense.
I don't think they should have blue light brigades. They should sit in Ubers.
Well, the new Minister of Small Business, I can't even pronounce his name, Kumbodzo Ntshavheni. It's a her. Okay.
No, good luck on that one. She's from Limpopo.
I would nominate a Nissan NP200 half-ton Bucky.
Okay, yeah, because Limpopo's roads are bad.
Exactly.
And when she goes back home to visit the family, she doesn't want to do what the previous minister who's the Minister of Communications, Faith Mutambi, had to do once.
Yeah.
With pick up rocks and move them in the road. Do you remember that?
Well, that bucky will do well because, you know, it represents small business and startup companies need a bucky. And then for the new Minister of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, Toko Didiza.
No, just Didiza.
I would recommend a new Ford Ranger.
Yes.
Because she can spoil herself with a double cab.
Ah. I think spoil is not allowed with ministers, but okay, George. You're much more forgiving. Cool.
And then number three, Patricia DeLille, the Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure.
She needs a... one of those rattles that they make in the...
She insists that we call her Auntie Pat, so unfortunately the most affordable C-Class and X3 is just out of her budget at about 645,000 Rand. So I would recommend a Toyota Fortuner.
Okay.
For Auntie Pat.
All right. I like that.
Barbara Creasy.
Who's she again?
Minister of Environment.
Oh.
Forestry and Fisheries.
Okay, so she needs a boat. She needs a boat as well. All right.
She needs a runabout because you know, it needs to be fuel efficient. I would recommend the VW Polo because of the fuel consumption. You know, environment, forestry, and fisheries. You need to drive a lot.
I'm going to get one of those myself, I reckon.
And then finally, Senzo Mchunu, the new Minister of Public Service and Administration.
Yeah, Kyle and Sia can do this because they speak Zulu. All right, yes?
And I would recommend a Toyota Corolla sedan.
Oh, wow.
So an Uber.
Yeah, exactly.
Whenever I see those cars now, I assume they're an Uber.
It's a Toyota Uber.
Yeah.
A Toyota Uber. It's funny how people associate a Toyota Corolla with an Uber.
Yeah.
And 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. And then Michelin has brought out, or plans to bring out, they've designed already, a tire you don't have to pump up.
Like a... it almost looks like the tracks on a tank.
Yes.
Oh. That's and very clever.
They plan to put this into production by 2024 and, you know, take the air out of tires.
George, Ben was in the market for a car a while ago. Have you found anything, Ben?
Been quite busy, Gareth. I'm going to get back onto that next week, I promise.
In the meantime, he's walking everywhere. But what would you recommend for Ben?
That's right,
for
Ben. George, I mean, walk everywhere.
You recommended cabinet ministers' cars. What would you recommend for Ben?
Ben doesn't look like a bucky or double cab type person.
He's like a Renault Clio Sport.
I would
have you seen them Renault Clio Sport?
Those are so funky.
He just burns.
He starts getting
vicious. Those are funky. Renault Clio Sport.
We were so.
Doesn't he look like a race? Like he looks like he likes the race cars, like sporty things. Go look at Renault Clio Sport. That's the one.
I reckon a Volvo XC60. That's a Ben car.
Sensible. Sensible.
It's a sensible car. Ben's got his head screwed on.
Click on, man.
Okay.
All right. Go
as
on.
You were, George.
Then Chinese drivers get fined for the dumbest things. So the Chinese government has surveillance equipment that can recognize whether a driver is on his phone or not.
Uh-oh.
So this one guy got a fine in the post, and he went and fought this fine. And it turned out that he had his phone in his hand. He wasn't using it. He scratched his face with the phone, and the camera thought that he was on the phone and fined him.
Watch our stupid government buy that camera technology.
Exactly.
They love fining us for stupid stuff.
Right. I think
so
it's funny.
So the guy was scratching his face, and they thought he was on
and
the phone.
And they thought he was on the phone, so they fined him.
Wow. Not so, foolproof.
And then everything that is weird comes out of Austin, Texas. Uh-huh. A couple turned their living room couch, including the coffee table, and motorized it.
Is that weird or really, really smart?
Yeah, that's dope.
Can we
get that for our next video?
Look at the lamp in the background. They took the entire lounge and they motorized it.
But you know that the motto for Texas is for Austin is keep Austin weird.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's the actual town motto.
Keep Austin weird. That is weird. That's it for me.
All right, George. Thank you. Have a good weekend. Are you flying? Are you sailing? Are you helicoptering, gyrocoptering, driving? What are you doing this weekend?
I'll probably go fly my airplane tomorrow morning. I don't sail. I'll probably go for a bit of a flip. It looks like nice weather.
We never know with you. Could be any form of transport, you know?
That's true.
All right, very good. Kyle, thanks for joining us, dude.
Thanks for having
me,
Very
good to see you. And let us know when you're up here again, and we'll make a proper deal of it.
Yeah.
So it's good to catch up. Ben, go and buy that Renault Clio Sport.
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
And, otherwise, I'm motorizing my couch. That was second place.
And Sia will be doing...
World gin daying.
With gin daying, yeah.
What did
Very
you call
good.
The most female thing, Kai? Thank you.
Hey, these days, if you got a bottle of gin, you're going to win, boss.
Gin for the win.
Many have already forgotten about Henry Van Breda, but his legal team haven't. They're still trying to get him out of jail. Their latest attempt centers around what they believe is a prime suspect. Golfer Frikkie van Rijn apparently said he was ready to murder someone on the day after the attacks on the De Salza estate. Van Rijn said it was because he just hit two balls into the water on the 13th. But the lawyers are grabbing to what they can right now. We'll see what happens. The end is near again. You heard about this? Apparently a giant asteroid is en route to Earth and will hit us on September the 8th. Ben Affleck has been asked to go to space again and shoot it out of its orbit, but he's fat and divorced now. So he says he's all for hitting it this time. Faf du Plessis finally and his pals have a big day ahead. They have managed to arrange a slot for the suit fittings at an exclusive Savile Row tailor. Oh yes. After which they'll be taking photos for Instagram at Piccadilly Circus before Mocha Frieza Chino Lato Chinos at Fuff's Suite at the team hotel. Aren't you excited? Don't expect any cricket though. All right, we'll see you on Monday. Have a good weekend. Blah, 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 blah.
This is CliffCentral.com.